You guys, let's go ahead and start. People are wondering and find out where they're supposed to go in here. Let's do the prayer first. We always start with that on page 3. So join me in that. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Loving and gracious God, we ask you to open our hearts to your Son's life and ministry and answer the call to be his disciples. May our response be rooted in the gospel. May we be ever mindful of the needs of our communities. May our stewardship flow from a profound sense of gratitude for your many blessings. By the gift of the Holy Spirit, empower and inspire us to respond in a new way that brings hope to others, reveals the love that comes to us through Jesus Christ. We ask this in his name, who is Lord forever and ever. Amen. Great to be here. I'm Jim Kelly with the Diocese of Charlotte, and we're here to introduce our program, and we'll get going shortly. So the topic, make sure in the right place, is raising over $500 million despite the challenges of a pandemic. So we have three speakers, Catherine Frazier, Myra Sanchez, and Martin Camacho. Catherine's been the Chief Development Officer for 5 years. She's helped raise hundreds of millions of dollars in her career, particularly the $500 million-plus campaign LA we're going to hear about today. Before that, she was a CCS consultant and worked with Archdiocese Chicago. Myra is the Executive Director of the Advancement Services there. Before that, she was the Catholic Education Foundation for LA, so she's been with them for 20 years. And then Martin is Senior Vice President and Lead Counselor for the campaign. He's been with CCS since 2011. I've worked with him in other capacities. He's great to work with. He's done a lot of Dawson campaigns, Denver, Chicago, Amarillo, El Paso, Stockton. Those campaigns raised over $1 billion, and then before that, he was in one of our positions in El Paso. So let me give it to you guys to run with this, baby.
So before we dive into the campaign, I'm just going to tell you a little bit about the Archdiocese of Los Angeles. We're all in very unique communities, and the Archdiocese is no exception to that. So for over 250 years, the Catholic Church has really shaped the communities of Southern California. From the first missionaries to the present day, the Archdiocese is the largest diocese in the United States, with more than 4 million Catholics celebrating Mass in 42 languages. While every parish faces challenges, the intricacies of our population add layers to the already complex and ever-challenging environs we serve. So as you can see, I put some stats up here. We have 288 parishes, 30 missions and chapels, 16 Eastern Rite Catholic churches, 214 elementary schools, 51 high schools, 73,750 students. There's 120 cities, and it's just a behemoth of a diocese. So we actually are comprised of three separate counties, Los Angeles, Ventura, and Santa Barbara. It covers 8,762 square miles. So running a campaign in such a vast region has its difficulties. There are also, it's interesting to note that our schools is one of the three largest school systems in California, public or private. And we have just all these different groups that are making up the diocese. So we ended up, and we'll talk about this a little bit, offering several languages and hiring campaign directors that could meet these needs. Outside of the campaign, last year our office helped support 22 ordinations, 131 priests in retirement, 15,000 scholarships, 71 schools and 62 parishes needing additional help through the annual appeal. We had 50 legacy gifts in our Office of Planned Giving, almost 50,000 baptisms, 20,000 confirmations, 5,096 marriages, and over 30,000 First Communions. So we're very proud of the sacraments that we're able to help support through the development office. So outside of the campaign, dollar-wise, in a given year, we raise almost $6 million in scholarships, $1 million for the seminary, $14 million from our annual appeal, $1.7 million for the priest retirement fund, and then $7.7 million for different donor-led initiatives. As I said, all dioceses are different. And you might not think, especially seeing these large numbers, that your diocese has a lot in common with LA, but we all share so many similarities. We're all dealing with aging donors, navigating a very volatile political and social climate, uncertain economies, and low or lowering levels of participation. You might have a diocesan center that parishioners consider a black hole. They might not so lovingly refer to it as downtown. I hope not, but that might happen. But I would also offer that we have a lot in common. Many of us have vibrant Hispanic parishes, rural farming towns. LA has some of that. And also insular islanders. We have that on Catalina. I think what we also want to impart is that these big, bold ideas, like a $500 million campaign, are going to really ignite donors no matter what kind of community that you live in. And that certainly proved true in Los Angeles. So the call to renew timeline was... Oh, good, we did change it. Sorry. I wanted to just show you the priest advisory committee because I think it's important to note that if you are going to run a campaign, it's really important to get the priests on board and involved in the planning process. There were so many pastors who helped us succeed in the campaign, but particularly in the planning phase, and I think it's really critically important to have the buy-in from priests, and especially those with active communities, but also those that represent the diversity of your communities. And then on this next slide, I just wanted to show this because this is all the auxiliary staff that was hired in the 7 years we ran the campaign. So it was a really large endeavor with a lot of additional staff members, but that's really what it took to get to $500 million over that time and go over goal. So in March of 2017, the Archdiocese of Los Angeles hired CCS to conduct a pre-campaign assessment and planning study and tested a goal of $350 million. That goal received strong support. 89% of participants indicated that it was the right time to move forward. And then something kind of extraordinary happened during the study. A couple who remained anonymous committed to making a gift of $150 million to the campaign. And to our knowledge, that's the biggest gift that a diocese has received. And that really, once it was presented to Archbishop Gomez and the Council of Priests, shifted the idea of what the diocese could do. The Council of Priests voted unanimously to move forward with the campaign in October of 2017 with this new goal of $500 million, the largest fundraising goal that we knew of being undertaken by a diocese.
How many folks in the feasibility study did you interview? About
200.
Okay, thanks.
That's a lot. And half of them were clergy and half were... Lady.
Thank you.
What was the purpose of the campaign? So we're going to run through the different case components of the campaign, that's actually on the next slide. So with the $150 million gift in hand, the lead gifts were obviously well underway, and Archbishop Gomez stepped forward with his own gift, and the next step was to reach out to all those other close constituents at the Archdiocese. The Case Advisory Task Force began creating the compelling case for support and identified four pillars for the campaign. So the far and away focus of this campaign was supporting parishes. $375 million went to the parishes, both from fundraising they were going to do at the parish level and then also fundraising dollars that would go back to the parishes. They did a partners engineering report that identified all of the deferred maintenance that existed at parishes that were going to be funded over the years post-campaign. We also included $30 million for priestly vocations and then a $30 million goal for serving the vulnerable, which included the Ministry for the Sick and Dying and the prison ministries at the Archdiocese of Los Angeles. So there was endowment money specifically for investing in the faith of the future through our Catholic Education Fund, which is our scholarship fund at the Archdiocese of Los Angeles. So Martine's going to talk about the timeline.
So as Catherine has described, Los Angeles is a massive archdiocese, and so it presented a lot of unique challenges, but a lot of similar challenges that you see across the U.S. We started with the campaign with a pilot phase of the campaign in July of 2018. The purpose of a pilot wave is to test our campaign plan and our assumptions about the campaign. Whenever CCS goes into a market, we share a lot of data about our past success. But when you're in a new diocese, everyone says, well, that's Chicago or that's, you know, wherever. We're different. And so we need to prove to people that while there are differences, there's a lot of similarities. So we began the pilot wave with 19 parishes, which is a rather large pilot wave. We tried to select one parish from each of the deaneries, and there's 20 deaneries in the archdiocese. We wanted the pilot wave to reflect the diversity of the archdiocese in both size, in regions, and in ethnic diversity. As Catherine said, we hired staff that spoke multiple languages. One of the first interviews we conducted when we arrived was with the deacon, and we asked him about if his parish was a Hispanic parish, and he told us there's two types of parishes in Los Angeles, Hispanic parishes and those that are becoming Hispanic parishes. So I went back to CCS. I said, everyone has to speak Spanish. And it was interesting because we hired all kinds of people who had Spanish skills, but they also spoke multiple languages, which came in very handy as the campaign progressed. Included in the pilot wave was Queen of Angels in Lompoc, if I'm saying that correctly. It's located 150 miles from the Catholic Center, and it is the furthest parish in the archdiocese. And we also worked with Immaculate Conception in New Cuyama. Has anybody been to New Cuyama? When I went to look for the church on commitment weekend, I went to the address and it was the house because it was the office. So I had to drive around the little town and ask somebody. I saw somebody walking a dog and I said, do you know where the Catholic Church is? And they pointed me in the direction. It's a very small community. Their goal is only $25,000 for the campaign. The goals were set at 130% of 1 year's offertory. So imagine a parish that only has an offertory of about $18,000. That's not even enough to pay the priest. So we worked with all sorts of parishes. In fact, Immaculate Conception raised the most money as a percentage of goal. They raised 435% of their goal. With the deacon, not even a priest that was assigned as a pastor. When we started the campaign in the pilot wave, we had five CCS directors, parish directors working on the campaign. After a successful launch with a pilot wave, we moved on to wave one in January of 2019. We had 29 parishes in this wave. Typically, in most campaigns, the pilot wave sets the high watermark for fundraising. And the pilot wave, we raised 134% of the cumulative goal for that wave. In LA, things were different. We were very successful. In fact, 90% of the parishes in wave one attained their goal. And the average raise was 157% of the goal. And we experienced extraordinary generosity. For example, Father Piercy, the pastor of St. Kevin's and Precious Blood, which is located, their twin parishes located in the Hancock Park neighborhood of Los Angeles. He wanted to raise over $1 million for each parish, and I kind of tried to temper his excitement for the campaign, but he insisted, and he showed me otherwise. He raised over $1 million at each of his parishes. In Santa Isabel, which is located in East L.A., East L.A., if you're not familiar with Los Angeles, is usually considered one of the poorer areas of town. One Sunday after Mass, an elderly woman approached the pastor, and she was pretty upset because he hadn't visited her for the campaign. And he explained that, you know, he was going through a process and that eventually he would get to her. And she said, well, you know, Father, I've been saving money from the work I do. And she handed him a small purse. And Father was thinking there might be a few $100s in there. When he opened it, there was over $10,000. And she donated that, everything that she had saved, to the parish campaign. In July of 2019, we launched wave two of the campaign. Now we were up to 55 parishes. That's larger than some of the small dioceses. I know that. It was 55 parishes, and we hired 15 campaign directors. We're working on the campaign at this point. 16 of those parishes had goals of $1 million or higher. Two of those parishes were Corpus Christi and Pacific Palisades, and Padre Serra and Camarillo. Each of those parishes were the first to raise $3 million in the campaign. And later on, you're going to see a slide of how much money was raised in the campaign. Wave two also included Holy Angels Church for the Deaf. It serves the deaf community throughout Los Angeles. And this presented its own unique challenges. I learned a lot about the deaf community. Some of the things we learned is that people don't know each other by their proper names. In sign language, people will give you a sign for your name that relates to maybe the first time they met you, like Blue Bill, because Bill was wearing a blue shirt when he came into the community. So how do you assign Blue Bill when his name is William Smith or something like that? So there's a lot of unique challenges, but we were able to help the parish raise their goal. And it was interesting because even when we went to the parish meetings, all the staff spoke sign language, and some of them couldn't hear, so we would have to have an interpreter in all our meetings with the parish. As I said, the wave continued with great success. Wave two raised 150% of the goal. Now, when we first started the campaign, we had envisioned a campaign that would be in six waves, about 3 years to complete the campaign. But that wasn't to be, right? In January of 2020, we launched wave three of the campaign. We were up to 58 parishes, including three Catholic Korean centers were in this wave. We ended up hiring directors, a director who spoke Korean, to help serve those parishes. And wave three got off to a tremendous start. We hosted four kickoff events in January and February. Now, you have to go back and think about that time in January. We started hearing about the pandemic, but people were still coming to our events. When we start a wave, we invite all the parishes to come to a dinner with the bishop.
Super spread.
Yeah. Exactly. Thankfully, we didn't hear a report that we had spread anything. But, you know, people came out. We had four kickoff events in the different regions of the diocese. And then on March 19th, everything sort of stopped. Well, actually, by March 19th, seven parishes were already over goal. It was the fastest start that we had experienced up to that point. But then on March 24th, everything stopped when the Archdiocese announced the closing of all the parishes. You know, I can remember looking back, I thought, oh, we'll be back in about a month. And then it became 2 months, and then 3 months, and then on and on. So everything came to a close. Now, what's interesting is that between March 27th and June 26th, people kept sending in pledges. We received 77 pledges, totaling $1.1 million while the parishes were closed. So people, you know, that demonstrates to me that people are very close to the church and they want to help. You know, sometimes I think some dioceses, people feel like, oh, our people are overburdened. There's no way they're going to give. But in my experience, people are always willing to step up for the church.
So when you guys had to stop, if you're 350, how much did you have in place at that
point? So for wave three, we had 18.8 million. Now, in total, I'd have to go back and look, but it had to be close to 250 million overall. We were at 45% of the goal. Wave, after 17 months, CCS returned to the campaign in the fall of 2021. And we had to quickly assess. We couldn't just pick up where we left off. We knew that, because different communities have been affected differently by the pandemic. And so we did an e-survey that we sent out to pastors to sort of gauge where their community was with the pandemic. And from that, we assembled 16 parishes for what we called Pilot Wave 2.0. Eight of those parishes were in Wave 3, the wave that was cut short. And eight of the parishes were brand new to the campaign. So things were different. We didn't have necessarily weekly in-person meetings, and families weren't necessarily willing to meet in person. So we had a lot of Zoom interviews. We had people meeting outdoors 6 feet apart. It was very different. But there was,
I think you have to remember that on the West Coast, we tended to have COVID restrictions extend a lot longer than the rest of the country. So even this 17-month hiatus, we hadn't changed many restrictions from the very beginning of the pandemic at that point.
Right. And, but what didn't change was people still wanted to give. For the first time, we had 100% of the parishes attain their goal, and they raised nearly double the goal, 194% of their assigned goals. And we didn't change any of the goals, by the way. Everything remained exactly the same. So now with, and we didn't actually complete this wave before we started the next wave. We started wave, what we call now wave three again. In January of 22, we started wave, the pilot wave in October, and then we added to that, we added 43 parishes, to our wave, goals. And,
Martina, at that point, how much staff did you have as you're restarting?
So, that was the other thing. We lost all our staff, right? The people who worked for the Archdiocese, some of them were laid off, some of CCS people left, and so we had to reassemble a team of people. We were able to hire back some of the same team that had worked with us previously, but I don't recall the exact number at this point.
But the Archdiocese did not lay off any staff during the pandemic.
But what I'm saying is he's asking how many parish campaign directors did we have. I'm going to say we had 12 is what the team was by this point, now that we were starting 43 parishes. This wave included St. Monica's and Santa Monica, a great CCS client, with led by Monsignor Torgerson. If you haven't met Monsignor Torgerson, every time Tom Brady played in the Super Bowl and they would show his parents, Monsignor was sitting right next to them. Tom would fly them out to all of...
He is a horse.
Yes, he is. He is. He raised, it says here 9.4, but ultimately he raised over 10 million. In the campaign. But he is a force. He's very unique. He knows his people. He knew who to visit and how much to ask for. We also had another parish, Sagrado Corazón y Santa María de Guadalupe in Cudahy. That's a mouthful. They raised 423% of their goal. So you have this very wealthy community that did very well. And then you had a very poor community who did astonishingly well as well. This campaign was unique in that it was such a long campaign that we were actually starting to see projects fulfilled while we were raising money. So the photo of the parish is historic Santa Barbara Parish called Our Lady of Mount Carmel, and they were able to paint the exterior of the church and all the buildings on campus with campaign funds from this campaign. Wave 4 began in July of 22. This wave included a parish. Oh, we went back to in-person kickoffs. So now in 22, we were hosting 5 kickoffs, regional kickoffs for the parishes in this wave. There were 50 parishes. One of them was St. Vitus, which was the newest parish in the Archdiocese. It was founded in 2018 to serve families with the Trinitine Latin Mass. And the parish had already outgrown its small church. Even before the pandemic, they were already having Mass outdoors under a tent. And so this parish had been looking for a new property to purchase and wanted to use the campaign to raise those funds. So I remember being home one day, and Father John Fryer, the pastor, texted me, "I think we're over goal." This was 2 weeks into the campaign, and he was so excited that he had already exceeded his $600,000 goal. He ultimately raised over $3 million for the campaign to buy this new piece of property.
She allowed combined campaigns for all the parishes?
No, these weren't combined campaigns. We did allow combined campaigns. Those aren't even the ones I'm mentioning. These are parishes that ran the standard campaign who just, the pastors had extraordinary vision and jumped on the opportunity to maximize it. Over goal, 100% went to the parishes. And that's a trend we're seeing more and more at CCS. In the standard campaign, 50% stayed with the parishes. When I started working at CCS, it was typical to do 15% to the parish. What I'm seeing now is parishes really need money. And if you can give them that incentive to raise more money, I would highly recommend at least the 50-50 split. Also, I don't know that I would necessarily give them 100% because there's challenges presented if you're under goal for the diocese, but giving the parishes a large amount over goal really incentivizes them to really work hard. So these parishes raised 136% of the goal. The gentleman on the screen is Father Booty. He's the pastor of St. Lucie in Long Beach. And he saw this as an opportunity to reconnect with his parishioners who had been away from the church for about 18 months. And so he decided instead of having families come to him, he went to their homes. And he said at the end, he was jokingly, he said, "I've never blessed so many homes in my life." But he really took this as an opportunity to go and visit families where they live and to get to know them and to reconnect. And he raised 208% of his goal. Wave 5, the final wave of the campaign, began in January of 23. At this point, we were up to 18 directors. This wave included 76 parishes. 76 parishes, that's huge. It's larger than my home diocese. It included 10 Korean Catholic centers. In the Archdiocese, if you're not familiar with Catholic centers, they serve a specific ethnic group usually, or community, and there are 10 Korean parishes, and some of the priests actually come from Korea to serve there, so many of them don't speak English. At this point, we had 2 CCS directors who were fluent in Korean. 9 of those 10 parishes exceeded their goal, including St. Matthew's Korean Catholic Center in Sunland, which raised 585% of their goal, the highest of any parish. By Easter, this I thought was very, I always tell parishes and dioceses that when we start a campaign, it's in God's hand. We have to rely and trust that if this is meant to be, he's going to see it through. And this campaign reached its 500 million on Easter Sunday that weekend in 23. So we were already over goal. Ultimately, we raised nearly $553 million, which is 111% of the goal. one more? Thank you.
So this is maybe our most exciting slide. This is the campaign at a glance. So here you can see we raised that over $552 million. We had over 65,000 gifts, and our average pledge was a little bit more than $8,000. I will say that average pledge is definitely changed by the $150 million gift that we mentioned. So it is a lot higher than most average gifts, but that really offsets it. We went 111% over goal, and right now, with about four more years to collect on pledges, we have over $368 million collected, or 74% collected. That's so hard to know, because we say we have 4 million, but obviously registered parishioners is a different story.
Counting Catholics is like counting cats. It's impossible.
But we did have great participation. Here you see that combined campaigns raised over $44 million. Many of those had large deferred maintenance projects that they were working towards, or big school projects. And those parishes also did a fantastic job. So I'm going to give it over to Myra, who's going to talk a little bit about, or no, I'm actually going to talk about giving by pastoral region.
Quick question. Did 100% of the lead gifts go to the diocese?
No.
That was still 100% over would go to the parish?
Most of our lead gift donors wanted to have part of their gift designated to their home parish. So here you can see the giving by pastoral region. We have five regions in the diocese of varying sizes. Our Lady of Angels, where the Cathedral of Los Angeles is, and the Diocesan Center is the largest. Our Santa Barbara community is the smallest. But everyone really pulling their own weight and having these huge over goal percentages. So the average parish in the archdiocese raised 143% of its assigned goal, and overall 83% of parishes exceeded the assigned goal. I'll also mention that pandemic wave was the largest over goal percentage, and I think a lot of us experienced that we thought people were not going to be giving, and then we saw these large gifts happening related to the pandemic. On this slide, you can see the highest percentage of goal raised. So Martine mentioned St. Matthew Korean just knocking it out of the park with 585% of goal, but 13 parishes raised 300% or more of goal. You can see that we have a lot at 400. It was just really incredible to see, and I think these pastors also represented various levels of experience. So we did, with the Korean centers, the Archdiocese didn't even historically require them to participate in the annual appeal. They hadn't done a lot of fundraising at the diocesan level, and we really went into the campaign not knowing how our Korean centers would respond to raising money for the archdiocese, but as Martine said, they just completely knocked it out of the park and did an amazing job. On the next slide, you can see our highest dollar amounts. Some of these are not a surprise. American Martyrs and St. Monica's Parish historically do an amazing job fundraising, and they had CRMs, and they had active online giving, and they really already had a lot of the tools in place to be successful. But other parishes were definitely ones that were learning from CCS and learning from archdiocesan partners how to do this kind of outreach and how to raise this kind of money. So 66 parishes had goals of $1 million or more, and 111 parishes raised $1 million or more. We had 20 parishes raise $2 million or more, 8 raise $3 million or more, and 10 parishes with goals over $1 million were missed their assigned goals. So overall, did that they everyone did very well. Yes, yeah. I think people have a preconceived notion, and I did, that the Archdiocese of Los Angeles would be more liberal than other dioceses, but we have really the same makeup as most dioceses, and I would say it's very similar to Chicago in that way, which is where I started. So we mentioned a little bit of the diversity at the diocese, and early in the planning process, we recognized the need to really meet these communities where they are. So we recruited members that were bilingual and trilingual to work in Spanish, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Vietnamese, Croatian, Hungarian, Filipino, the deaf community, German, and actually there's an Italian parish as well that's not listed on here. So just an immense amount of diversity. And we had one director who was a CCS director who came to us at this completely opportune moment, who was Korean, but his parents had been missionaries in South America, so he spoke Spanish and Korean. He was just this complete threat.
Where's the Irish up
there? I also wanted to show you, because we ended up going almost 7 years with our COVID break, we had multiple pastors who had to do the campaign in different communities. So this is my shout out to them. From 2018 to 2023, these pastors had to conduct a second campaign, because they had in that time been assigned to a new parish, and everyone was very good about that, or at least as much as can be expected. And then we also had, of course, those twin parishes that some of you, some of your dioceses have as well. Like a lot of campaigns, it was our major gifts that made the difference. 210 donors contributed 46% of the total amount raised. Donors who contributed $10,000 or more were responsible for 64% of the total raised. And actually this past year, I think we have all of the Archbishop's gifts complete. So those,
how much did he bring in?
He brought in about $225 million.
That includes 150?
Mm-hmm.
How many visits did he make about
ballpark?
Yeah. Okay. It's hard to say, because we
dozens. Dozens, sounds like that's right.
Yeah.
I don't know that he had 100.
No.
It was October of 17 to September of 23.
6 full years of campaign.
That took you a while to get there.
As a former CCS diocesan director, I'm going to ask you a really inside baseball question. How many cars did you go through?
I won't answer that question.
And we actually, our biggest suggestion is don't do cars. Well, I think from the Archdiocese.
Yeah. My recommendation is give us old cars. Don't buy new cars. Because we do, I mean, there's just so much driving, and L.A. traffic is horrendous. It takes forever to get anywhere.
Yeah, I think we had a homeless person living in one of the cars. We had a lot of car issues. So we're going to say don't do cars from the archdiocesan perspective. So the parish fund distribution, now we're really in a phase of giving out money and having projects completed. And I'm going to give it over to Myra finally on this slide. So
we had several, as you could see, several projects. So 288 parishes have completed some of the projects. So this is an ongoing project. Obviously, we have more and more parishes participating and finishing. Also allocations, so far 122. And then you could see some of the funds at work. So here are some pictures of a few things. So, for example, the wall repairs at the St. Gabriel Mission, Blessed Sacrament, they got new roofing. In Nativity El Monte, they had the parish tower painted. So those are a few examples. Another few examples, so at St. Peter's and Paul in Wilmington, they had new pews and flooring, lighting upgrades at the Mission Basilica of San Buenaventura, and then parking lots reconstruction at St. Dominic Savio. A few more. And I think this is interesting for your parishioners also to know and see, have that information readily available and publish them in the bulletins. That way they could see how the projects are happening, and that inspires also the parishioners to give more and fulfill their pledges. So the exterior painting at Queen of Angels, La Placita in LA, the new shrine at Our Lady of Loreto, and then a new rooftop at St. Cecilia. Obviously, we have way more projects that are, you know, being completed at this moment and, you know, ongoing as well. So post-campaign plan, so pretty much, you know, the active phase ends, but the campaign does not end. So you enter into the fulfillment phase, which is also a great challenge and impacts a lot of your parishes and just making sure that your funds do come through. So our suggestions is to maximize the pledge redemption. So working really closely with your parishes to make sure that they actually offer as much information at the pulpit, also information at the within the bulletin, having and establishing a good communication, such as establishing fulfillment committees at the parishes, is also very important. And then obviously stewardship, it's extremely important. So the fulfillment strategy, obviously having, like as I mentioned, the campaign visibility, it's also very helpful if you have a thermometer, just having your parishioners see how, you know, they're getting closer and closer to their fulfillment goal. Also, bulletin inserts, as I mentioned, highlighting the project, so having some of the pictures of what the funds are actually doing. That's also very helpful.
You guys got 15 minutes.
Okay. Events, so focus on CTR. Well, this was our campaign. Also, just acknowledging and thanking as much as possible all of your donors. So staying on top of fulfillment. I know it's, you know, it's the fulfillment phase. It's not as, you know, busy as the active phase, but it's still a pretty big responsibility for the parishes. So making sure that your parishes have the resources, have the information on hand, and are able to, you know, not let it accumulate. Yes.
So how much did CCS participate in assisting the parishes through the pledge redemption and fulfillment process, mm-hmm. or were you moving on to the next phase and parishes were on their own?
So normally we would move on, but like we said, the campaign was so long, the parishes that were in the pilot wave and wave one and wave two continued, you know, they were almost done collecting with collections when we left. So we created a manual, a fulfillment manual that we shared with each of the parishes. We actually, when we came back from the pandemic, had two directors assigned to working with parishes on fulfillment, going in there and trying to train them on how to get back on track. So we were able to do a little bit more. But as I always tell my clients, I'm always available to help. If they have any questions, even when we're gone, they can reach out anytime. I do want to do a shout out to LCI. They're great partners in the fulfillment effort. They handle all the processing of the gifts, the sending out, mailing of the reminders. Matt's sitting at the back of the room. If you'd like to see him, go visit his booth.
Now, the client giving discussion has been 10 o'clock session, from Helen.
So make sure that you don't do it alone. Ensure that you have an established committee at your parish level. So a few takeaways to consider for a successful campaign, so just as an overall recap. So these are some of the strategies and best practices that we found that were very important. So clearly defining your campaign designations and priorities. So, for example, what are you going to be actually raising funds for? And also, what types of donations are you going to be accepting? Are you going to be accepting planned gifts? Are you going to be accepting recurring gifts, matching gifts? So for matching gifts, sometimes it's a little bit challenging because of the time frame that it requires for distribution. So sometimes if you have a matching gift coming through, it could take up to 6 months to receive it. So it becomes a challenge, you know, depending on what type of donations you're trying to accept. And just having the staff in place. So if you're going to be having planned gifts as part of your types of donations being that you're going to actually be able to give to, making sure that you have a planned giving department, that you're, you know, constantly in communication with your other departments as well. So the other piece that we also found very helpful, it's just making sure that your agreements and your pledge cards have all the necessary information. So ensuring that for audit purposes, you have, for example, all required signatures, all required the schedule, that it's very, you know, the information is there, because that will actually save you time eventually in the audit process. So aligning also your database, I think, very closely to that of the structure of your finance team is another takeaway that we actually found was very helpful. That enhances communication between departments and your finance team. So also implementing reporting methods with your stakeholders and organization, within your organization, but also at the parish level. And then just doing regular updates. So making sure that you have a process where you share reporting with your team. So not only, for example, if you have a construction department and also you have a finance team and your development team, that they're all in sync and they have the same, you know, information, most up to date. So that's very important. So the other piece is providing resources for your donors. So making sure that you consider all generations and giving options. So for example, you know, you want to have online giving. You also want to make sure that, you know, if you have an older generation of donors, that you have a call center, for example, that guides them how to give a donation. And just, you know, readily available handouts with information on how to give. And obviously also using technology, your donor database to help you track all the information, so CRM systems and analytics. So just taking advantage of that. So also just making sure that everything is timely and efficiently processed is going to be key to your campaign. So as Martine mentioned, we use LCI, and we're still working heavily with them. So that is also very important, making sure that you're in constant contact with your vendors or, you know, processing center, ensuring that, you know, you provide information and where to donate to your parishioners. So these are just a few slides on, you know, what we make available at our on our website. So just making it very easy for donors to, you know, if they want to give through a DAF or securities, they could just click on it and get the information.
We got many gifts of real estate.
We
have one.
Mm-hmm. And then here's another just view of our parish link. So this is secured information that is only accessible for our parishes. So it would be the pastor getting all the reporting on a monthly basis. So just staying connected and
so
communicating.
Just dollars, the names of parishioners.
Everything. So they have the information to actually be able to send a thank you letter to them and know if they fulfill the pledge, for example. So that's very important, I think, the communication overall.
Mm-hmm.
So now we left a little bit of time, I hope, for questions. I just want to mention too, with LCI, you know, we at the Archdiocese, I know some dioceses can do a lot of this processing themselves, but even our Together in Mission mailing is about 60,000 donors that are responding to that, and over 100,000 that are regularly getting those mailings. And for the campaign as well, we just cannot process the gifts in-house. It would be a huge time suck and also just require a lot of staff. So I am a little bit jealous of people who can do it themselves, but we have to really send out all of the mail and the processing.
We have about 8 minutes of questions.
Are you doing anything different for redemption in your Hispanic or other communities from the pledge you might have yet to
hear? We are to a degree. So we have, at some of our Hispanic parishes, they are doing fulfillment weekends. So the pastor will, on a pretty regular basis, accept cash collections that are specific to the campaign. And that was one suggestion that ended up coming out of the pandemic period, where parishes that had participated in the campaign, especially in Hispanic communities, were seeing levels of support really drop off. And we did notice those communities were more affected by the shutdowns and generally had a harder time coming back, and that pledge fulfillment weekends were really helpful to them to working towards collections. We, to the best of our ability, try to track everything. Myra is really a blackboard whiz, and the communication with our finance team is at times exhaustive, but we attempt to, even with cash gifts and with rural communities and no matter who they are, really try to track and keep our data as clean as possible.
Other questions?
Yeah, sure. Do you want me to take this?
Yeah, a lot of people think that once you get the gift, that's it. That's not it. You want to make sure that donors feel appreciated. So you should be in contact with them if you have events. It could even be as simple as a mass of Thanksgiving, inviting the donors to something like that, making sure they get invited to galas. You want to make sure that you get to know your donors so that when you have another campaign or another need, you know what their priorities are, and so you know who to go to. But yeah, you can never thank a donor enough times. They say 7 times, but you can never thank them enough.
Yeah, and I would say there were very few donors at the Archbishop's level that we didn't have a really strong relationship with to begin the camp, to begin with. We luckily had so many different exciting events and opportunities to re-engage these donors throughout the 7 years. About a year and a half ago, we ended up getting 4 new bishops, which was a great way to engage our major donors. We have had the anniversary of the San Gabriel Mission, which is one of the oldest parishes in the diocese, and just various things that we can invite them to. And the mailings were really important. We do a yearly impact report that shows everything that happens in development. And, we also send a weekly newsletter to, about 65,000 donors. We did not set up a separate 501c3. We had a dedicated account for the funds, and then more recently we have put everything in a trust, a dedicated gift trust. It's pretty similar to what you see just the national level. So I would say we get about 15% of our gifts online. Would you agree with that, Myra?
Yeah, so they come through Gift Central, which, you know, we have Bridget Daly here too. So Gift Central is our preferred platform, and everything comes through and it gets processed through that
about
platform.
15% of it's online?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's about 15%.
Yes.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
Two more questions.
So what about the pastors? A lot of pastors are not excited about their pain. They don't know how to talk about money, especially younger ones. They're not really trained to go and reach out to much older donors. So how did you get pastors to get behind this and raise money, especially in parishes that, you know, traditionally, you know, fundraising did not do so well?
I would say in LA, it was all about our pastors. And we, even the ones who were reticent or hesitant at the beginning of the campaign, ended up coming around almost on the whole. I would say there, of course, were a few outliers to that, but the money that was raised really was raised in the parishes. And we had so many pastors come up after the campaign or during the campaign to let us know, you know, how thrilled they were basically to make these connections in their communities and to have the training that they now had to go out and raise money on their own. A really interesting, you know, facet of the LA campaign is LA had never done a capital campaign before Called to Renew. So they, you know, started with a bang with $500 million as their first campaign effort. But in a way that made us more able to reach out to the community because they weren't exhausted by constant campaigning in LA. And it was a unique experience for most of these pastors to go through. And I think they, to that point, they weren't sort of tired out by being asked to raise money for the diocese.
Let's go to
wrap up.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, CCS provided training. We do what we call visitation training with the pastor and with the volunteers. I have often offered to go along on a visit with the pastor for the first time. We try to set them up for success by asking them to visit somebody they know really well that they're pretty certain will support the campaign, because you want them to feel good. If they get a no right away, it's harder, but we work very diligently with the pastors. We meet with them weekly throughout the entire campaign.
Let's wrap up. So again, thank you guys so much. Thank Catherine and Myron. So here's the thing, the evaluations are being loaded up on Hoover.